Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast. The wacky, the weird, the interesting, and I have such fun doing them, I must say, and do send me requests. L-A-O'Neill with two L's at tcd.ie. And if you send me a request that I know something about it, I'll do it. And if it's somewhat close to what I work on myself, even better. But I am a scientist and I'll chip away at things that interest me as well. And this week it is a request. It's Tara Dorney. And Tara sent me an email saying, would I do the science of lipoprotein little a? Now, I know exactly what that is, by the way. People listening mightn't have heard of it. But Tara really wants to know about cholesterol and the role of lipoprotein little a in cholesterol measurements and predicting heart attacks. It's all about heart disease, really. So what I'm going to cover is the science of cholesterol. And I meant to do it actually for a few months and didn't get around to it, because it's a really important topic and really interesting, especially if you're a biochemist or into inflammation like me. And I'm going to give you an example of stuff we're doing with the companies we collaborate with on cholesterol and heart disease. So we mean to do it for a while. So thanks very much, Tara, for suggesting it. We must have been thinking the same thoughts. Now, what is cholesterol? Always start with defining things in science. Very important to have a definition. Well, it's a natural thing. Your body makes cholesterol. You eat cholesterol in your diet as well. It's a combination of the two. Very natural. And it's in membranes of your cells. So our body are made of all these different cell types. And the membrane is made of things called phospholipids. But in the membrane, there's always a bit of cholesterol. And it makes the membrane fluid. If there's no cholesterol, the membranes get too rigid. Cells can't move very well, can't do their jobs. It's about a thing called membrane fluidity is the biochemical term for this. So cholesterol is very important for keeping your cells fluid, if you know what I mean. And the membrane's pretty flexible. And that's one function of cholesterol, very importantly. The second big function is hormones. Cholesterol is the building block for many hormones in your body. Most notably, estrogen, progesterone, corticoids, cortisol, those are all built around cholesterol, and stuff of in bile is also detergent-like molecules. They have cholesterol as their basis as well. So when the biochemists first began characterizing it in the body, probably over 100 years ago now, this began, they began to realize how important it was, and how it was a building block for so many things. And this is the wonder of biochemistry in a way. Our bodies are so complex chemically, and cholesterol is a complicated molecule. It's complicated. It's got four ring structures, and it's got various substitutions around the rings to make the different downstream products of cholesterol. So it's a huge area, really, in terms of biochemistry. But that was worked out, by the way, the fluidity thing and the hormones. Oh, good Lord, I suppose about 70, 80 years ago now, they realized that. But even before that, in the early 1900s, pathologists were measuring cholesterol in different situations. That's what pathologists do. A pathologist is trying to study disease. And early on, it was noticed that in the arteries, the big blood vessels of people who died of a heart attack, guess what? There was loads of cholesterol. And obviously, what was happening there was the biochemists came up with a way to measure it. An assay, we use the word assay. My lab has loads of assays running for different things. You could measure cholesterol, and they noticed there was loads of it in the blood vessels of people who died of a heart attack. And they could see it in these streaks in the blood vessels. It seemed to form these structures, and they were known as plaques. Plaque. We use the word plaque in biochemistry and in medicine as a name for aggregates of things, really, groups of things. You get plaques on your teeth. For instance, you get plaques in your brain. So it's plaques that are full of cholesterol was noticed over 100 years ago now, I suppose, in people, in post-mortem samples of hearts from people with heart attacks. And then they even saw crystals, which was interesting and will become relevant a bit later. There's so much cholesterol in the blood vessel wall, it forms crystals of cholesterol. It comes out and forms these crystals. And they seem especially troublesome, as I will explain. But the question then was, is it cause or effect? And this is a key question in science. You remember, correlation does not mean causation. I've said that 1,000 times. Just because something correlates with something else doesn't mean it's causing it. So the question here was, is the buildup of cholesterol causing the heart attacks? And in the 50s and 60s, great epidemiology confirmed some of this. It confirmed high cholesterol levels in the blood was a risk factor for a heart attack. And again, that could be correlation, causation. But now we know that this is actually causative, because all that cholesterol building up and all those crystals, they cause inflammation in the heart. The heart becomes inflamed. What inflammation means is damage to the heart, a lot of clotting. clotting happens as a result of inflammation. You can imagine inflammation in your skin. If you cut your skin, it gets a bit inflamed. Blood clots form. The same thing is happening in the heart. So it's almost like as if there's a scar there in a way, kind of. And the scar is being caused by this buildup of cholesterol, and that is causing inflammation, which causes the clots. And of course, a big cause of heart attacks are clots forming in the heart, cutting off the blood supply. And now you have a heart attack. It's also tied into the failing of the heart, because all this inflammation can make the heart a bit stiffer, causing a thing called fibrosis, and that can promote the heart to fail, which I will come back to again in a few minutes. One big one was the Framingham Heart Study. That was a famous one. That was thousands of people were studied over the course of years and years, and again, the correlation with very high cholesterol and the risk of heart attack was very, very clear from that those studies. So all the epidemiology said there's something going on here with high cholesterol. Now, next part of the story was this, though. Beginning in about, again, the 50s and 60s, biochemists mainly wondered, well, look, is it free cholesterol in the blood, or what is the cholesterol that we're talking about? And it turns out that special little bags called lipoproteins, lipoprotein particles, carry the cholesterol, very importantly. So low-density lipoproteins are carrying the cholesterol. LDL is the name for that. And what this means is your cholesterol isn't just free-floating and gloopy things. Remember, cholesterol is very water-insoluble, so it could be little bubbles of cholesterol in your blood. It wasn't that. It was packaged into special little bags. Lipoproteins is what we call these bags, because they're full of fats and they're full of proteins, and LDL is a great class of lipoproteins. And guess what? Next, they see the LDLs, the particles, in the artery wall, and then really importantly, the cholesterol in those particles was getting modified, it was becoming oxidized. And it's oxidized LDLs that are causing the problem here. They showed this over the course of a couple of decades, I guess. And the oxidized LDL is especially inflammatory. The body doesn't like that. It's seen as something very toxic. And in particular, macrophages, a cell type we work on in my lab, they engulf this stuff because they see it as foreign. It's all oxidized and it's full of cholesterol, and the macrophage engulfs it, and then the macrophage becomes activated, and that causes the inflammation. And you get the clots, and all the downstream effects happen as a result. So here we have cause and effect. It's the oxidized LDL full of the cholesterol, and often in crystalline form, that drives the macrophage crazy. And that macrophage causes all the inflammation to happen. It turns into what are called foam cells. They look like foamy. The word came from all this lipid, all this fat inside them is forming a foam. And you can see these foam cells in the blood vessel wall. And these are the things that are causing all the problems. Now, the last piece of evidence, though, for cause and effect here, really importantly, was drugs. And drugs called statins were developed. What do statins do? They stop your body making cholesterol. They block an enzyme. It's called HMG-CoA reductase, which is the rate-limiting enzyme in the pathway in your body that makes cholesterol. So statins shut down cholesterol production. Now, what that means is you have less overall cholesterol, because obviously you could stop eating it in your diet. But it's hard to avoid cholesterol in the diet to some extent. And that's one way to lower cholesterol, of course, is to decrease it in your diet. The other way is to take statins to stop it being made. And guess what? They worked. And they really are a massive advance. They are saving millions of lives now by lowering cholesterol and therefore lowering the inflammatory effects of the oxidized LDL in the blood vessel wall. They were shown to lower LDLs overall. You have less cholesterol in the body, so you have less particles to carry the cholesterol. And secondly, another lipoprotein called HDL. Now, HDL stands for high-density lipoprotein. What was happening here was they were separating out the different particles that carry the cholesterol. Some were higher density, some were lower density. It was the LDLs that were the problem. The HDLs turned out to be protective, which is interesting. So if you have high HDL in your body versus LDL, that's a good thing, right? And what the HDLs do is actually they clear cholesterol. They're very good at taking up cholesterol and bringing it back to the liver. And that's where we break down cholesterol. So if you have high LDL, high HDL, you're trying to, it's like a natural way the body has of lowering cholesterol, I suppose. And high HDL was a good thing. And this is all being worked out. Very interesting. Exercise boosts HDLs. Fruit and vegetables, they boost it as well. So HDLs are a good thing, you know, because they're clearing the cholesterol away from the blood vessel wall and being protective, right? The LDL is the problem. The LDL is putting all the cholesterol in there. and therefore that's the problem in terms of lipoproteins. And often we see HDL and LDL being measured. What statins do, something else is interesting, they increase the clearance as well. They're very good at helping to clear cholesterol through the LDL mechanism, actually, in the liver. So statins are good at clearing cholesterol too, as well as stopping its production. Now, the lipoproteins are very, very complicated. It turns out, and they're finding more and more new ones, by the way, in the system as well. And it's all about the level of the LDL and the HDL and the clearance, as I mentioned. So too much LDL means too much delivery into the blood vessel wall, too much for the HDLs to remove. And there's good studies as well showing us a battle, in a way, between the LDL, which is bringing the cholesterol into the blood vessel wall, and the HDLs trying to clear it. Good cop, bad cop, if you will. And the good cop, HDL, gets overwhelmed by too much LDL because you have too much cholesterol in your diet, usually, is the main reason for that. Again, statins lower all of that, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, blood pressure comes into it as well, because high blood pressure makes the inflammation much worse. And that's why they're trying to get blood pressure down, really importantly. And the high blood pressure combined with high cholesterol is a double whammy that will really damage your blood vessel wall. So again, trying to lower blood pressure is a very important thing. One last piece of evidence for this is, very important actually, there's a condition called hypercholesterolemia. These are people who naturally have far too much cholesterol. And guess what they have wrong with them? Their lipoproteins are imbalanced. And in particular, a protein called apolipoprotein B is mutated, and that affects cholesterol metabolism. And in fact, what's happening here is the mutations in those people, they can't clear cholesterol through their liver, through the LDL mechanism, and therefore the cholesterol builds up. And 1 in 250 people have mutations in these various proteins that are involved in the LDL clearance, really important as well. And so that's another important factor. And that was part of the evidence for this as well, of course, very importantly. And then another one is apolipoprotein A, ApoA. That would attach to the LDL, and that gets mutated. And as well, that's a big problem. And that's where ApoA comes in. If you've increased apolipoprotein A in your system, you have an increase of heart disease. Because it turns out that's really sort of promotes the delivery of cholesterol to the blood vessel wall. Really important. That variant then is being measured. And that's why, I guess, Tara asked for apolipoprotein little a, because that's another marker of something being wrong. If that's too high, that means too much cholesterol. I've got to go and think of it, Tara B. That is involved in delivering the cholesterol, apolipoprotein a. And if you have lots of it, then more cholesterol is getting delivered into the blood vessel wall and causing all these problems. Now, you can see the complexity here is intense. And there's a bit of a reassessment going on. Just measuring LDL alone doesn't suffice. You'd want to measure the HDL as well. And actually, you may have normal cholesterol in your body and very high lipoprotein little a. And what that means is you've got a lot more delivery of the cholesterol. So even though the cholesterol levels are pretty normal, if you measure it, it keeps going into the blood vessel wall and causing all these problems. So they think just measuring cholesterol now, you might miss some people at risk of this. Really important then to measure this. They're interested in, of course, lowering lipoprotein little a, because if you lower that, there'll be less cholesterol being delivered, and some of those drugs are in development, which is also a part of this. And lastly, just to give you one last little insight, there's one more particle they call chylomicron remnants. So there's a big word for you. Chylomicrons are huge, big particles that deliver cholesterol around the body. And if you have some of those now in the system in the form of these remnants, that could be a problem as well. So now they're suggesting we measure these chylomicrons as well. Really, really important. And of course, the proposal is to measure several of these things when you get your blood sample. It won't just be high or low cholesterol. Now, remember, high cholesterol is still bad, and it's still an indicator. What they're talking about here is you might have lower cholesterol, but other things might be wrong that are getting that cholesterol into the blood vessel wall. Hence the need to measure more than just the LDL, HDL cholesterol content is really, really important. And that's why they're modifying some of these things at the moment. So I guess what it's like is there's no point in counting the postmen only, right? You've got to count the ones that have the address to deliver the stuff. And there's a good analogy. The lipoprotein little a is a bit like the address. So you stick that protein onto the particle, and that means it gets into the blood vessel wall, right? And you can have loads of particles like postmen, if you know what I mean, and only a certain number of them have the address to bring it to the blood vessel wall, and that address is lipoprotein(a). So the thing you want to measure then is the level of lipoprotein(a), because that will tell you a lot more about the risk of the cholesterol being deposited into the blood vessel wall. And these things are very much active at the moment in research terms. Because as I say, you can measure cholesterol, it's useful, but now these other things could also be useful because you might miss certain people. And wouldn't that be great? Because if you can catch the people with the high lipoprotein(a), you might help them and prevent them having cardiovascular or indeed stroke, because remember, that's another one that's a bit similar in a way. And then with the HDL, getting back to that, that's the good guy, remember, you're trying to get the HDL to clear the stuff. It turns out if that's really high, that can be a problem. So with HDL, you might call it the Goldilocks effect. Not too much, not too little. In the middle is the HDL. That's becoming a bit obvious as well. One reason for this is HDL might be carrying bacterial factors that irritate everything. So if you have too much HDL, that might be getting into the blood vessel wall, and that might be provoking the inflammation. So it's really important to measure the level of HDL. And then HDL, if it's at the right level, will clear the cholesterol and can be anti-inflammatory as well, which is a good thing because you're trying to suppress this. And I just saw as well, looking this up, there's 280 different proteins in HDLs. Can you believe it? So they're very complicated things. But this is telling us is this, like most branches of medicine at the moment, it's much more complicated than we thought. All this great research is happening, all these insights are emerging, and in this particular case will hopefully inform the efforts to stop people having heart attacks by measuring all these different things. We're doing reasonably well with cholesterol measurements. We're certainly doing well with statins to lower cholesterol, but there's people being missed, and you might be able to spot more people at risk of heart attacks by measuring all these various things. And lastly, the bit that interests me is the inflammation part. And as I mentioned, the inflammation part is really important because these oxidized LDLs, they'll drive inflammation through the cholesterol. And that inflammation is being driven by a protein called NLRP3, which is in the macrophage. And that's what we work on. And we have a drug to block NLRP3. And lots of companies are developing NLRP3 blockers for heart disease because that will stop the inflammation. And the sequence of events I will give you now is to wrap up this item, just to make it clear in a sense. You've got particles delivering cholesterol. They're LDL particles. If they've lipoprotein(a) on their surface, they're very good at doing that, right? The HDL is trying to clear those particles all the time. Too much is bad, but the right amount of HDL is great because the HDL is getting the cholesterol away from the blood vessel wall. But in the event where the LDL is high, that will drive the macrophage, tries to clear this stuff. The macrophage senses the cholesterol, often in crystalline form, and NLRP3 is the sensor. And the NLRP3 is pushing the macrophage into a very inflammatory state. The macrophage now explodes, actually, and drives all the inflammation in the blood vessel wall that provokes the clotting and other events and ultimately causes the heart attack. And this is why blocking NLRP3 could be a very useful thing to do. And the drug that we discovered, we've just seen clinical data from Roche with the company. They're lowering the inflammatory markers in people at risk of a heart attack. And we're very excited about this. Early days, many things fail, of course, but we're very keen now to follow this closely. So that brings it really close to home, the importance of cholesterol, the importance of these lipoproteins, and then the importance of the inflammatory process in heart disease. There you have it, the science of cholesterol. Hope that was clear enough, and thanks for listening as ever. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.